Welcome to episode 70 of Glitchcast. I was able to crank out a quick, let's call it a bonus episode here. Austin and I have been taking a break. Some real life stuff has got in the way, but we have got a Detective Pikachu episode for you, and we are bringing in a Pokemon expert, one of the founding members of GlitchUp.com, helped get Glitchcast off the ground. He's been on the podcast before, my brother, Pat. How you doing, Pat?
I am great. Thanks for having me, man. It's a perfect episode for me to be here on.
Yeah, absolutely. We need a Pokemon expert. You and I, actually, we'll talk about our past with Pokemon soon, but as per usual, let's hop into movie news. Austin won't be joining. We hope to have him back soon. But this episode, just me and Pat hanging out, broing out.
Big shoes to fill.
That's right. Yeah. Well, I think he has pretty small feet, actually. He's not here to defend himself, so let's just rip him to shreds. Sorry, Tina. All right, movie news. So we're going to keep the news pretty brief. A couple trailers, we'll do a Thrones recap, and then we're going to talk some Pokemon here. But with movie news, let's just talk about Avengers Endgame. It has crossed 700 million. I believe that's domestic. It has topped Infinity War, Black Panther, and all signs point to it destroying Avatar and, you know, every other record out there. I've seen it twice, so I've contributed to those ticket sales. You have a little baby boy, Emmett, so you haven't had a chance to see it, right?
That is right. I do not have 3 hours free at the moment to go see it, so I've contributed nothing. But it doesn't really need my help, it sounds like.
It does not need your help. You can't just tell Anna you're getting out of the house for a little bit.
I did, no? And then I chose Pikachu.
Oh, okay. That's true. And you got to figure out something. We got to see Godzilla together.
That's right. I won't miss that either.
You might be joining for the podcast then as well?
I hope to.
Yes, you are. You're also the Godzilla expert. You and me watched those as children, but I think you've actually rewatched a lot of the classics again lately, haven't you?
Yeah, I have. I was going through a phase there when I watched a bunch of them, and then I started getting into them and just kind of got bored at all the really terrible human plots, so I kind of let that slide a little bit, but there's some really good ones out there. You just kind of have to suffer through some crap.
God, it's so soon. Anyway, Endgame. You know, this deserves every penny. I know you haven't seen it, but I think you can appreciate how much effort went into this and the pure scale of all this. I mean, I'm ready to see Avatar being taken down.
Yeah, I was reading it's probably only a couple weeks away from that, but it sounds like it's definitely going to hit it. And, Avatar was fine. I enjoyed it for what it was, but I don't think it deserves to be number one. So I would be happy to see Avengers take that down.
There's also a lot of, like, asterisks around that. Apparently there were like no good releases back in the day around that time for like 2 months, so like Avatar just reigned supreme. And also you had to buy the 3D ticket, so ticket sales were like 25% more, so that's kind of why it sits on the throne. And I'm really glad Endgame's gonna take it off. Next up, we got Netflix's live-action comedy, or not comedy, Cowboy Bebop series is actually going to star John Cho, who is Harold from Harold and Kumar?
Is that him? The dad from Searching, right?
The dad from Searching, yeah. It's expected to begin filming in New Zealand. All right. Did you ever watch this anime?
I did not. I know what it looks like from the name, but I didn't really ever watch it back on Toonami.
It's got that curly-haired dude in the blue suit, and I think there's like a cat sidekick or something. That's probably some other anime.
I don't think, just kind of reading impressions on the internet, that Netflix has been knocking it out of the park with live-action anime adaptations. So we'll see how this goes. But I don't really know enough about it to really give too much of an opinion.
This anime has been on my list to watch, just like a million other animes that like people say are incredible, like that movie like Your Name, My Cousin Totoro, and all these weird, like, there's this one like Studio Ghibli or what. Ghibli is like this incredible studio, and I really need to get into anime. Have you watched any of that good stuff?
No, I have My Neighbor Totoro, and then I think Princess Mononoke is another one really, really highly talked about. Anything from that studio is supposed to be really great. I don't think this is from that studio,
no.
But I've heard really good things too, but I just never really got around to watching it.
We watched DBZ, and that's about
that's
it.
That's pretty much
right?
It.
And Pokemon. Of course, Pokemon. Well, New Zealand, Peter Jackson really put New Zealand on the map, and now a ton of stuff is filmed there. So I just don't know how this will translate to live action, but yeah, like you said, don't know enough about it to be able to comment on it, but hopefully that'll be good. All right, so that's really it with news. I know it's been a bit, and I probably could have pulled some more together, but I'm trying to keep Pat not away from the wife and baby for too long, so we're gonna keep this brief. Let's talk trailers, and I moved a news story underneath this trailer because we might have a little bit to talk about here. So let's talk Sonic the Hedgehog.
Do we have to?
Yeah, I guess we do. So Austin and I have been covering this for some time, and we're like, oh, great, a Sonic movie is coming. The director came out. Jeff Fowler has done Go for Broke. That's all he's directed. It's a short that I think premiered before, I don't even know. He was a visual effects supervisor on Where the Wild Things Are. We heard Jim Carrey was cast as Dr. Robotnik, and we were like, okay, he's skinny, Dr. Robotnik's fat, but like, he's wacky enough, right?
Yeah, he could definitely pull it off, I think.
Sonic was Ben Schwartz, I believe, is the name of John Ralphio from Parks and Rec.
Mm-hmm.
Okay with that. I'm okay with that. Even though, wasn't Urkel from Family Matters the voice of Sonic in all those cartoons?
Yeah, he was, but I don't know. Maybe he's probably free. I'm sure he's not doing much.
Yeah, I'm sure he's not too busy. And then James Marsden was cast, and this dude just needs a new agent. I mean, all right, so the trailer finally – well, first of all, hold on. There's been leaks of, like, posters and, like, this dude's face and
– his creepy, long, lanky legs.
They've made the mistake of making Sonic humanoid and weird and tall before, and it's just weird. What are they – we're thinking, what the hell is going on here, right?
I mean, he's doing the same thing he's been doing essentially since the mid-90s, which is just being in a bunch of garbage. So this is kind of par for the course for him. It's nothing outside of his territory of being in something really terrible.
But I think everybody was like, all right, we'll wait for the trailer. The posters look weird. He's got like huge calves, long legs. He's probably going to make out with a human girl or something. Which he's done in games before. So the trailer finally hits, and my God, the teeth, the tallness, the creepy human-like eyes.
The music choice for the trailer.
Gangster's Paradise?
So try hard.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on this? Immediate reaction is just chaos, right?
Yeah, probably worse than I expected. I don't know. It got a couple laughs from me.
Really? What?
I don't know. I thought the little bit at the end about... it is a child, but it's not my child. So you have someone else's child in the back. Like, that was fine.
And then the people walk away and just don't help?
It just looks really bad. Like, worse than I thought it would be. The only thing I actually... like, I would watch a cut of this that takes Sonic out and just keeps Jim Carrey. Because I actually think Jim Carrey is fantastic in this. I think he's going back to 90s Jim Carrey. And he looks like he's actually having a ton of fun with it. To me, he's the only redeeming part of this movie. Sonic looks absolutely terrible. Every part of this movie looks terrible except for him. Go ahead.
Gangster's Paradise. Did they choose that because it's a 90s song? Like, is that... there's just no other connection to this movie.
It makes no sense.
Okay. And then I think I kind of agree with Jim Carrey. I think it's just nice to see him back. But then he just does the bit from Austin Powers as Dr. Evil, where he's just like, "You shush, you nobody cares. Shush, what? No, be quiet." And it just—it's very basic comedy, and nothing that he did really made me laugh except the very end of the trailer. It showed him kind of becoming a wackier Dr. Robotnik, which is what I want to see, not some dude who looks like he's from Super Troopers 2.
Yeah, if that was the movie, I'd be way more interested than what it is now. I don't really care, Sonic. This looks like it's Detective Pikachu done wrong, right? Like,
right.
None of
so
this
wrong.
Makes any sense. It's super unbelievable. He doesn't gel with the environments at all. And if it was what we saw at the end of the trailer with like Jim Carrey really hamming it up, actually looking like Dr. Robotnik in these really crazy sort of psychedelic worlds that Sonic's known for in the games, like that would be something that I could get behind. But this bring him into the real world with James Marsden playing a tryhard Chris Pratt is just... it doesn't work at all.
And 98% of the trailer is set in this boring, bland highway and a building. And, like, it doesn't look like they're going to take the, you know, Emerald Hill green zone or whatever and these casino zone type environments that Sonic has always gelled in. And it's just everything about it is so bad.
That last bit, the most interesting bit, I guarantee you that's probably the last 10 seconds.
It's a teaser.
Yeah, it's either the after credit sting or it's like the last 10 seconds of the movie to set up the sequel that hopefully never happens.
So, after all the backlash, because you and I basically just now reacted like everybody else online reacted, the teeth, the eyes, the long legs, the just the voice, the comedy, all just weird. The director now claims the VFX team is going to redesign the look of Sonic in the film after the backlash. So how much do you think they're going to get out of this here? They got this. This is going to be expensive here.
I honestly don't think they're going to do much, if anything. I could see them maybe adjusting the teeth or, you know, some of a little bit of the way he looks, but they're not going to change anything that dramatically has him interact. Like, I mean, he's already been put in there interacting with people. This comes out in November. There's just not enough time for them to drastically change it.
If they change an inch on him, it throws all of the actors off.
There's just no...
They can't change his height. They can't change his legs. They can change maybe his eyes and the teeth.
I mean, it'd be a start.
If they do the eyes and the teeth, we might have a chance here. Because Sonic's eyes, if you haven't noticed, they're essentially one eye with like a weird middle brow. Which when you think about it, that doesn't really make sense. But okay, so if they could change one thing, what would you change? If they could change literally one thing in the VFX department?
Probably is, I don't know if it's the teeth. It's the fact teeth that he doesn't have the gloves and his hands are just white, or if it's the legs. It's either the legs or the teeth. There's a lot wrong with it.
Oh, God.
I don't think it's going to be a good movie regardless. Changing a design is not going to save it from being a dumpster fire.
Yeah. I don't know, man. This was a huge disappointment. It's everything that we thought it would be. It's the exact opposite reaction that we had when we saw Detective Pikachu when we expected it to be bad. And we were like, huh, that looks good.
I think one of the designers over at Sonic Team was like, well, we can only... He's like one of the... like the supervisors for the movie. He's like, I can only give them advice. It's up to Paramount to actually make it a good movie or whoever's putting it out. Just like, yeah. Everyone's just kind of like, it's not my fault.
Yeah, I guarantee you this is the studio being like, hey, no, dude, that looks weird. Make him more human-like. And the creators are like, this isn't Sonic. And the big CEO talking heads just putting their foot down and saying, no, make this movie. Yeah, I mean, it's classic.
It's going to be bad. I can't wait to see it.
All right, 8 minutes on Sonic, I think. Let's move on to something that looks really good in It Chapter 2. You and I are both book readers, correct?
Yes.
You enjoyed It Chapter 1?
I loved it. Probably my favorite movie of that year.
Wow, okay. It Chapter 2, they took a different direction than the book and split up the children and the adults into two different movies. So in the book, they kind of hop back and forth, correct? If I remember
correctly. They hop back and forth, but it was kind of structured where in between the hopping, like there was a big bulk of the, if I remember correctly, there was a big bulk of the children. And then they flipped over to the adults for a large portion of it. But
Andy Muschietti directing, same directors coming back. You've got a really, really good cast. I just love that they're getting these A-list actors for horror movies. Jessica Chastain's playing Beverly Marsh. Bill Skarsgård is back as Pennywise. James McAvoy as Bill Denbro. That's the daughter. Bill Hader as Richie Tozier. Jay Ryan as Ben Hanscom. I don't know him for much. Did I say Bill Hader as Richie? Yeah, I just did.
Yes.
And then the guy from Old Spice commercials as Mike Hanlon. And I don't think I missed anybody, but they nailed the casting.
That's really... I didn't put that together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about the cast here so far?
I like it. It's all good. I guess for some reason I thought Bill Hader was Bill Denbro, but which I was like, it seems a little weird. But no, I think that's really good. I just hope, you know, I don't really care who they cast so much as are the adults going to have the same type of chemistry that the kids had? Because to me, that's what made that first movie. Is like they had like the same type of chemistry that they would have on Stranger Things, which is like really, really good. Mm-hmm. And I just care that the adult actors have that that chemistry going forward, because otherwise it's going to be a tough sell. Even if they have A-list actors, it doesn't matter if they're not, you know, if it doesn't feel like the Losers Club.
Yeah. And it's tough to make a team of adults fighting an entity kind of scary. I think it's easier when it's kids and they're, you know, their kids are kind of weak and, you know, lame, but couple of adults banding together, like, is it gonna be tense? I think it will. And they did a good job with the first one, so benefit of the doubt. Throwback to our first episode of Glitchcast, which was It Chapter 1.
Ooh.
But we get a long intro here. Were you a fan of this? I actually, it kind of threw me off. I would have rather seen a more traditional trailer than this like minute and 20 second weird grandma scene with Beverly Marsh.
Yeah, I mean, it was felt like a preview more than a trailer. I kind of wanted to see a little bit more, but that's a, I think it's a relatively famous part of the book where she goes back to her childhood home. It was kind of...
I was laughing, I'm not going to lie.
But the scene where she kind of fast forwards in the background naked was just... I was just like, that's not scary. That's just hilarious.
Yeah, so it shows her in the background and like she's looking in the kitchen and she's like, you can tell she's naked and she's just like... and like dances around naked and I'm like, oh, this... It's kind of off-putting, but it just looks... It reminds me of the naked old woman from There's Something About Mary, and I can just imagine seeing those disgusting shriveled boobs. So the first like 2 minutes I didn't, you know, that scene didn't really get me, but the rest of the trailer looked pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just glad that horrifying laugh that they do, that they put in the background of every trailer where it kind of, the little clown laugh and then it echoes, like, that's just super unsettling. Every time I watch a trailer, it gets me.
Yeah, okay. So you're glad that it wasn't in there or you wouldn't want it in there?
No, it was in there. I was glad that it is back because like right at the very end when it shows him, it does that sort of little looped, echoey laughter.
So... We won't spoil anything, but there's a couple things that we're wondering they're going to put in this movie. And one of them is a scene involving the kids, I believe.
Yeah, that's not going to be in. If that's
And
the
then another
about.
One is kind of the origin of Pennywise and the origin of the opposite of what Pennywise is and exactly what Pennywise is and how he's created and whether or not they're going to get very cosmic with his origin.
I hope they do. Get weird with it. Maybe not as weird as in the book, but it can get... That story was trippy at that point, and I just want them to get weird with it because I don't, if I recall, the first one that came out did not have any of that in there. So I would be fine. We're, you know, we've got Guardians of the Galaxy and Marvel's going cosmic. We're a lot more open to that kind of weirdness now. So I would love to see them get super weird with it.
Stephen King was doing a lot of drugs around that time, so yeah, there is a there's some weird stuff in the book. So we'll see what makes it to the screen, but I'm relatively hyped for this. I think they nailed the casting and first one was great. Andy Muschietti, great direction, scary, good chemistry, and I think they'll nail chapter two.
Yeah, I'm pumped. I cannot wait to see this. And I don't really like scary movies, but I love this book and I love the first movie, so I really hope that this one knocks it out of the park and doesn't disappoint.
Let's chat about I Am Mother. I believe this is a Netflix movie, if I'm not mistaken. I think it stars a newcomer. Her name is Clara Rugard as the lead. Hilary Swank is in this as well, and Rose Byrne voices a robot. This is about a seemingly society and humanity has ended, and a robot somehow creates a human embryo and raises it as its own in this strange sci-fi-like environment. The robot... gets her to about, what, 16, 17? And then Hilary Swank busts into this this compound and is like, what are you doing here? Would you like to join society? And the robot's pretty much saying, like, she's lying, she's out to kill you, and all hell seems to break loose. What were your thoughts about this Netflix movie called I Am Mother?
It kind of reminded me a little bit of 10 Cloverfield Lane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In a way, and I wish I had more to say. It looks cool. I'll watch it. I don't really have much else to say besides that. Like, looks neat.
Yeah, I wish I didn't watch it, honestly, because they basically reveal many, many of the twists in the movie. They basically show the robot as essentially being evil and has been lying about the entire human planet or wherever the hell they are. So that was a very spoiler trailer, but I'm intrigued. Decent CG, decent talent behind it. Never thought I'd be scared of Rose Byrne.
I really like the design of the robot. It was kind of unique and something I haven't seen before. And you never know. I mean, editing is a powerful tool. You don't know if that trailer is edited to make you think that you know that the robot's the one who's bad, but it could be the human. So we'll see. It's probably not. They probably spoiled it because marketing departments can't seem to not do that in trailers now.
Yep. Director, nothing really notable. He did a short called Legacy and did 4 TV episodes of Castaway 8 years ago and has done nothing since. So Netflix, let's see if it lands in the Netflix dumpster bin. All right, let's chat about Murder Mystery. This stars Adam Sandler. He's back. And also, God, what is her name from Friends? Jennifer Aniston. You got Luke Evans in there, bunch of other smaller actors, another Netflix movie, I think. You know what? It's good to see Adam Sandler in a movie that doesn't look like absolute crap. But
I didn't hate it. It looked enjoyable.
It looked kind of fun.
I thought I was going to get reamed.
Oh, really?
I laughed several times.
Me too.
And was like, yeah, I'll watch this. Yeah. It doesn't look bad.
You know, I wouldn't go to the theater to see it, but no, it's a Netflix movie. Not. So it is definitely a I'm having some wine with the, you know, having a couple drinks and throwing on a probably pretty bad movie that has a couple laughs on.
Yep. I mean, most movies with Adam Sandler, I know immediately that it's going to be garbage, but at least I'm wondering if it's not going to be. So, like, that's a plus compared to everything else he's released in the last, like, 10 years. So I'm definitely intrigued. It didn't look terrible.
Yeah, so Adam Sandler and Jennifer Aniston are essentially the couple from the movie This Is 40. And they're on an airplane, and they meet Luke Evans, who seems like this really mysterious rich dude. And they go on this lavish cruise with him, and somebody gets stabbed, and it kind of turns into this murder mystery on the boat. And really, I don't know too much more than that, except, you know, it's two fish out of water, old people that kind of have settled down in their old age, and they go on a little action adventure. And honestly, it looks pretty good. And I'm glad to see Adam Sandler in something where 10 seconds into the trailer, I'm like, Jesus Christ. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's a pretty standard, like, fare as far as, like, the plot and the setup. It looks, at least. But I don't know. The jokes landed with me, and he's not going completely overboard and playing like 10 different characters and female versions of himself, things like that. So I'm cautiously optimistic on it.
It's not a Jack and Jill 2, so I'm okay with it. Wait, does that exist already?
I'm sure it does.
God, all right.
He's awful.
Well, a new trailer for Spider-Man Far From Home came out, and we, unfortunately, are going to have to skip it. Like we mentioned, Pat hasn't seen Endgame yet. There are some spoilers, whether or not it's before, during, after, alternate timeline, whatever. We're not going to talk about it, but it looks pretty good in my opinion, but we're going to skip it, unfortunately. Sorry, guys. Let's chat about Crawl. Crawl is a movie about a hurricane hitting a city, we got a daughter trying to rescue her dad who's trapped in the house, directed by Alexandre Aja, who directed The Hills Have Eyes, High Tension, which is an adaptation of a French movie, Piranha 3D, and actually produced by Sam Raimi of Evil Dead and Spider-Man fame. And I was kind of into this trailer until it turned out to just be about vicious crocodiles. What about you?
Yeah, it's a bummer. I really like the premise. It's interesting because it's something that's pretty real as far as, you know, hurricanes and people losing their homes and flooding and trying to connect with their loved ones who could be missing. It's super interesting, but the entire time I was hooked, and then the, like you said, the gators came up, and I'm just thinking to myself, like, why? How many terrible, like, giant gator movies or vicious gator movies are there? Like, why wouldn't you take this opportunity to do something unique? You know, all this water's flooding, like, who, it doesn't really matter, but just give it a creature, not just a boring alligator.
We're a little biased. We love creatures and monsters. But, you know, when's the last good croc movie? Lake Placid in, like, the early 2000s? Maybe it's time for the return of the croc.
There was, like, Rogue, I think.
Yeah, but Rogue was super old, too, and low budget. True. I did actually recently watch Rogue, and it was pretty good.
It was fine.
Yeah.
I just, you can, okay, so my main issue is, if you're going to do a big budget movie, it's going to be in theaters. Take that opportunity to do something creative. Create something new. How many croc movies do you think you could find on Netflix or in Walmart in the bargain bin? Like, there's just so many of them. It's just such a boring concept, number one. Number two, this isn't the way these animals act. It's completely absurd.
Well, I'm not a, you know, an animal guy. What would they not attack people in this environment? Would they be too scared? Or
I'm sure they would attack people, but these things are like,
they're hunting them down.
They're hunting them down, and they're
like, they're the last food source out there.
Yeah, they're moving super fast, and they're just, they like, they've got a grudge against these people. It's just not realistic at all.
The scene in the movie where that she's like in the shower swinging around. She's like, "Come on, you son of a bitch!" And I was just like, "Oh God!" No, the first half of the trailer I was in. Second half I was like, "Meh, dang it."
It's a bummer. I really was. I was all about it until I saw that. I'll still see it, but
oh yeah, we're gonna see it. And then finally, we got a TV trailer for Watchmen, directed by and created by Damon Lindelof of The Leftovers and Lost fame. This stars Yahya Abdul-Mateen. Say that 10 times fast. Jeremy Irons, Regina King. Pretty good cast. And this is based off the Watchmen comic book novels. There's that movie a couple years back. Zack Snyder, I think, directed it. Very divisive movie. I thought it was really good. What did you think about the movie?
Yeah, I liked it. It was long, but I enjoyed it.
And then the trailer seems to be just another adaptation of it, not in a sequel or a prequel or anything, just another reimagination of The Watchmen. What'd you think of the teaser trailer?
What I think that they've kind of gone on the record and said is that it's a remix, whatever that means. So,
okay, now there's a new term we have to figure out.
Yeah, reboots, remix. I think they're probably just taking whatever they want from the different adaptations of it and just kind of using that. I mean, it looked cool. I'm intrigued. I have no idea what's going on. I didn't expect to know, but I'm interested enough in the property and in the talent behind this that I definitely want to watch it.
Yeah, I think from what I have stumbled upon and heard, apparently Rorschach had like this journal before he died and wrote all these extremist ideas in them. And I'm thinking they're thinking that this crew of Rorschachs that you see in the trailer that are just saying like TikTok, TikTok, they found it and they become this crazy, like violent cult. And the Watchmen have to come back and maybe team up to stop them. But no one really knows, but that's kind of what I've heard through the grapevine. But I think this looks interesting. Really interesting.
Yeah, it's an interesting theory because that's, spoilers, kind of what the ending of the movie was, is he puts...
Yeah, exactly.
The whole plan that they had in his journal and sends it out to a journalist. So that's kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, I like it.
I really like the... I don't know if you'd call it art direction or costumes. I really like the police with the bright yellow. Yeah, the yellow mask and stuff. It's just really striking and looks kind of makes it stand out a little bit.
Absolutely. Yeah. We love Lindelof. We love a lot of the talent behind this. So really, really interested. And obviously HBO, they need something after Game of Thrones. Although Game of Thrones coming to an end, coming to a crashing and burning end. Burning, no pun intended. Jeez, I'm on fire. God, no pun intended there again.
Oh, stop.
Let's recap how this season has started and how you feel right now before we lead into the final episode of all of Game of Thrones. What are you feeling right now about Game of Thrones? Spoilers, for those of you who haven't seen it, we might ruin something, but you've probably seen it. So
if you're interested, you're probably watching.
Yeah.
Or not listening to this. You know, it's got a lot of issues, but I'm not as down on it as I think most of the internet is. And part of that might just be because after I watch it, I'm just like, oh, that was insane. And I just want to like, you know, ride that wave, and everyone then just kind of craps on it. And it's like, oh, come on, just let me be excited about
it. Just let me be hyped.
I think the biggest problem is they just don't have the time that they need to tell the story. All of the trajectory from where they were to where they are can make sense, but it's just not making sense in 6 episodes.
Yeah.
And it's frustrating because from everything that I've seen, they could have had the time, but they chose not to. So whether that means they're just sick of this world or they want to move on to Star Wars, since apparently that's the next Star Wars movie that comes after the Skywalker trilogy is from them. I don't know, but they're doing it a disservice by trying to cram all this in.
I agree. There's been some recent twists, Danny going mad, that just don't feel really earned. I mean, I guess they've been hinting at it. You got the Mad King, whatever. But, you know, an episode and a half for the shining, you know, bright part of the show that's supposed to be the person who breaks the wheel. I mean, you've got daughters named Khaleesi in the real world now. Because
those kids are screwed.
Yeah, because parents are like, oh, she's the second coming of Jesus. And now she's burning innocent Cersei. People. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's a lot of glory and action and great cinematography and CG, aside from very, very dark scenes in, you know, the Night King battle. But it just a lot of the script and the story has just come crashing and burning for me.
I think the showrunners are probably better at adapting material than they are at writing it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a huge jump in logic for Dany to get to that point at some point, but they showed, what, 2 scenes where her hair was frizzy?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, look, she's crazy.
She's crazy.
Because her hair isn't in a, you know, that she doesn't have Masende.
She doesn't have a lot of makeup.
Tie up her hair. Yeah, and it's like, why not? Instead, it would have been cool if over 5 or 6 episodes, there were, you know, she was at Dragonstone and she was trying to get into King's Landing in a nonviolent way. And she just kept losing or kept, you know, losing people close to her. And slowly she just kept getting more and more irritated until she just finally lost it.
Yeah.
But the way that they portrayed it, it just doesn't make any sense from where she was the last time we saw her to what she did. And that's really the issue, is that like none of this stuff is that big of a stretch, but it is a stretch when you're watching it from 1 week ago or even in the same episode, like last week's Jamie, you know, heel turn. Like, yeah, it was an hour and a half long episode, but it feels like it was like 5 minutes ago that he was a good dude and then he decides to run off.
Yeah, and then you have the biggest baddie in the show. You know, the Night King went out with a whimper. The Night King did not fight anyone. Arya came in and stabbed him in the gut and we're like, okay, so I guess the big bad is Cersei. And then Cersei goes out with a whimper as well, you know? No one gets to kill her. She doesn't go out fight. She goes out sniveling and scared, which I guess is who she is, you know, deep down inside anyway. But you have, okay, I was just going to do the math here. 73 episodes. So 73, you know, they're an hour each. Let's call it 40. Let's just call it 70. That's 73 hours of building up Dany as the hope and the change. And then in 1.5, she goes insane. It's just too fast. It's too rushed.
I think part of it is probably Martin's fault, because I think in some of the middle seasons they were stalling, waiting for him. And then when it was clear he just wasn't going to finish, they were probably so over this at this point that they just wanted to move on. But it bugs me because it's like, are you too proud to let someone else take over and finish it? Like, I'm sure they could have found someone talented to do this the right way. It's not the same show it was in season 1 through 4. And I've kind of accepted that. Like, it's spectacle now instead of political maneuvering and backstabbing and, you know, intrigue and stuff like that. And that's fine. But when characters are completely inconsistent with what we've seen from them so far, and they're just doing these huge jumps, we're supposed to just accept it and be like, but look, a dragon.
Yeah.
And like, that's
frustrating. But look, explosions, fire.
Right.
And, you know, I'm not going to sit here and go through the literally hundreds of things that don't make sense, like how, you know, the dragon arrows can nail a dragon 3 times from a moving ship 1 episode, then hundreds of them on a stationary castle can't hit one. You know, things like that that are just bothering everybody. But, man, it just seems like they are rushed and just trying to figure out how to wrap this thing up as soon as they can.
Yeah, it's a bummer, but I, you know, I'm curious to see how they do it still. I probably know what's going to happen, or at least have a guess of what the obvious route is, but I hope that they surprise me, and I don't know, I'm still in. I'm excited to see where this ends up and how it all ends.
I keep thinking, you know, is there going to be a way to really wrap this up and make me be like, oh, now all the things they did make sense, and I just can't see it. So let's see what happens, I guess.
Yeah, I do have to say that I kind of feel sorry for them. I don't think there's any way that they were going to be able to wrap. I mean, show endings are hard to do regardless. Yeah. Like, remember Lost. Like, I don't know that there's a way that they were going to do this to make everybody happy anyway. It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest show ever on TV. You're not going to please everybody. There's way too many threads out there. And then with these truncated seasons, it was an impossible task. So hopefully they can pull up and you know, do something. Stick the landing here a little bit at the end.
Yeah, it's a bummer. It was our favorite show for years. You know, I remember when we first discovered it, and we were like, oh my God, you have this to watch this show.
Incredible.
Yeah. And then, you know, revealing of the dragons, I was just like, this show is going to be insane. But boy, it has fallen. So, but, you know, they got 1 episode left. Let's see if they can recap it. On a lighter note, let's talk about Detective Pikachu.
Is my cause. I will travel across the land, searching far and wide. Each Pokemon to understand the power that's inside. Pokemon, it's you and me. I know it's my destiny. Pokemon. Oh, you're my best friend in a world we must defend. Pokemon. True, our courage will pull us through.
Yeah, so we're huge Pokemon fans. You have kind of taken off a little bit more than I have as far as carrying the torch of playing Pokemon, but I was a Pokemon Red boy and you were a Pokemon Blue boy. I remember sitting under lamps on a fat old Game Boy, you know, all day long playing this game, trading Pokemon with you, battling when we were little kids, and definitely holds a special place in my heart. What about you?
Yeah, it's probably one of my favorite series of all time. I'm a little miffed at the direction some of the current games are going, but I just...
And they're like making trash cans into Pokemons and stuff.
It's less that, and I won't even get into it. Maybe I'll write an article someday. It's just that, like, it had such an impact on me as a kid. Like, this was, like, all I was absorbed into in, like, fifth grade. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was everything, and I just had so much nostalgia for those games, and especially those early ones. There just wasn't much out there like that, and... You know, being able to have those two versions and, like, trading with each other and, you know, going on road trips and playing and having attaching the warm light to the Game Boy and playing after you go to bed and everything. It's just, there's just something about the series that always stuck with me. And, you know, I'm 31 now and it still sticks with me and I still enjoy it. And, yeah, I was at first kind of worried about this movie, but as we saw more of it, it looked like it was going to be a hit.
I remember the first... time that I realized I think the battery in my Pokemon Red had died. It felt like a part of me died because my poor Charmander, Charizard, was still there. And all my team, it was gone.
Your whole team.
But yeah, lots of memories. So I was very cautiously optimistic about this movie until we saw the trailer. And then I just became optimistic and got really excited. So to Detective Pikachu, Rotten Tomatoes, tomato meter from critics, 64% fresh. From audience, 85% of them liked it. And what that means is any basically if it's fresh, that means it's 8 or above. So generally decent reviews. Pokemon Detective Pikachu may not take its wonderfully bizarre premise as far as it could have, but this offbeat adaptation should catch most, if not all, of the franchise's fans. That is a critic's consensus. Box office-wise, it didn't manage to dethrone Avengers Endgame.
So bummed.
In its second week, but still grossed $58 million and $170 million worldwide on a $150 million budget. I think it'll have some legs due to positive word of mouth that this isn't bad. And I think we have the best video game movie of all time all of a sudden.
The curse has been broken.
Yeah. Previously, very, very briefly held by Tomb Raider, the reboot with Alicia Vikander, which I enjoyed, but I think this might have been better.
Oh, definitely. So I'm a little disappointed at the box office returns. I really thought it was going to be much bigger. That budget as well is before marketing.
Yeah.
From what I've been reading, it's going to need legs in order to make it a hit.
Yeah.
And if it's not a hit, I'm going to be so disappointed. It's so, this world and what they can do with it is just so ready for a cinematic universe.
We're going to talk non-spoilers and spoilers, and I'll jump right in and say that, yeah, I really enjoyed this, but I think to your point, the reason it didn't blow up at the box office is that one word, detective. If this was Pokemon Pikachu... You know, and this was all about the battles and the world and the training and the capturing, I think it would have got a lot of more people in seats, but that budget would have been insane as well. They had to have a people element. They had to have Pokemon not in the frame in 20-30% of this movie to cut down on the budget because the Pokemon looked incredible, and I had a good time with this movie. What about you?
Yeah, it was a fun movie. Mm-hmm. It's not a perfect movie. I wouldn't say it's a great movie, but I had a blast with it. I enjoyed it. I too would have probably preferred the more traditional storyline of, you know, kid leaves home, kid gets Pokemon, gym badges, battling, all that stuff.
Yes.
But I
yes.
completely understand why they didn't do it. Even outside of the budget, it's probably best that audiences just jump into this world as opposed to have it all explained because it doesn't make a ton of sense. And I don't think that would have worked. Like, I think of the game and like, How do you make a 2-hour movie out of that? Like Detective Pikachu, the reason I think that they adapted that and why it was smart to adapt that is because it was a game that actually had a story, right? Like there's a game that this story is based on. I haven't played it, so I won't claim to be the expert on it, but I know that it's...
What do we even have you on the show for? You're supposed to be other Pokemon the Pokemon...
It's not this one.
You haven't played the game that the movie's based off of?
I haven't. It was on 3DS. I'm over that system.
Is it for, like, babies or what?
No, I didn't want to play in my 3DS anymore.
All right.
But I do think it makes sense to do this one because, like you said, there's a human element to it, and then it's just... I mean, they have one of their characters talking in an English language, like, so
that
you actually have, right, like, if it was just a traditional Pokemon story, you're going to have all of them just saying their name over and over again. So I think to just get people into this, they had to do this, but it probably would have had a bigger draw if it was based on the actual games.
Yeah, I thought the world that they created was incredible, like you said. The Pokemon designs, I think they were based off some, like, DeviantArt artist guy that like got hired to help them consult on this because it's kind awesome. Of a weird cartoony style with big eyes mixed with like really realistic looking skin, and it just worked. You know, it wasn't too cartoony where it literally looked like DreamWorks minions in the real world, but it wasn't too realistic where it was like they weren't cute. I thought it was incredible looking.
It was It took me a little bit to warm up to them.
Really?
It was a little off-putting in those early trailers, but the more I watched it and the more I saw of it, like, the more I really liked it. I do think that they kind of went a little overboard with fur. I would have preferred to see a little bit more textures than fur. Like, Jigglypuff to me is... It's a Pokemon that can expand and blow up really big. Like, to me, that's, like, more of a rubbery, like, balloon-like texture than, like, furry. And I think they got a little carried away with the fur. It's like on everything.
Fur was incredible looking, though.
It was so good looking. I'll touch on that.
Amazing fur.
There's a part in that where I was just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
What I really liked what they did with the world was that, and you probably won't agree with this, but I really love that it wasn't just Gen 1 Pokemon. Mm. We're at a point where we have almost 1,000 of these creatures, and they included stuff from almost every generation. Now we're moving into Gen 8, I believe. So getting to see like the variety of things, like, I mean, it was probably cool for you because you didn't recognize, and maybe
I was fine with it. You know, I ruined Gen 1 by playing so much of that freaking Pokemon Go game, so I was fine seeing some other ones. I liked how, like, that Totodile looked. I saw the chameleon dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Was that chinchilla fire thing in the movie? I didn't see it, I don't think.
No. And that's sort of one of my complaints with what they built here, is that I liked the variety in the beginning. Like, from the trailers, I couldn't believe, like, the amount that they were going to have in here. But then I started to realize, okay, the trailers are kind of showing almost everything they've got.
Yep.
Then it was
pretty sparse the rest of the movie.
Yeah, you could tell that they created, like, 30 or so models, and that's just, like, all they could do.
Yeah.
And so they just kind of kept reusing those in scenes over and over again. So, like, halfway through or near the final third of the movie, I was really hoping for a little bit more variety. Or at the very least, like, filling out the evolutionary lines of the ones that were featured, right? Yeah. So, like, the little Gecko, Treecko or Treecko, however you pronounce it, you know, he's in there, but you don't ever see any of his evolved forms. And it's like, well, it's the city where these guys are, like, partners. And, like, if they're... Well, I don't want to jump ahead there. But anyway, it would be nice if they could at least have included that to just make it feel a little bit more real.
Who's the little fire dog that's from Gen 1 again?
Oh, Growlithe.
Oh, my God. He's so cute.
So good.
I want so many of him. They were adorable. They were scary when they needed to be. They were. Mm-hmm. They just looked really, really cool. Anything else like on the looks of the Pokemon? Or if not, we'll hop into the humans.
Nope. I think I've said all I can say.
I hated all of the humans. I can't stand Justice Smith. I hate his face. I hate how in every movie he's a whiny little bitch, and I just want to wring his neck. So every time he was on screen, I didn't like it. It just brought me back to, like, I wish this was just Pokemon. I just wanted the battles. Like, there's this cage match between Pikachu and Charizard that you see in the trailer. I just wanted that the whole time. But I understand why they couldn't do it. It's just kind of like the complaints with Godzilla 2014, where it's like, oh, I'm tired of these humans. The complaints with Transformers. I'm like, tired of these humans. But Ryan Reynolds as Pikachu, amazing. The rest of the cast, whatever. What were your thoughts on the cast?
I thought he did a much better job. Justice Smith.
Yeah, it's a badass name. But...
he did a better job in this than Jurassic World 2. He was awful. I thought he was fine. Like, he didn't do a great job, but he surprised me in the fact that he was mostly okay.
Okay.
Which is about the best praise that you can give him. I don't... Ken Watanabe,
yeah,
was just cashing a paycheck.
Oh, yeah. He's phoning it in.
Most of the other characters in this were just sort of
What'd you think about the like, Misty-like character, that gal? She came in and she was basically straight out of the cartoon.
I actually liked her.
Yeah, I mean,
she was super cheesy.
Yeah.
But to me, it fit within, A, the world that they created, and then, B, the just entire, like, that's not her introduction, right? Like, mm-hmm. in the beginning of the movie, I would not be surprised to see that same type of introduction either in a game or in the anime. Like, it didn't feel out of place to me. It was super cheesy.
It was like Team Rocket introduced, like, in the shadows.
I know a lot of people, it drove them nuts, but I actually really enjoyed her. I thought she was great.
I didn't mind her. I thought she was more of the tone that the movie would take, but then there's actually some dark humor and like adult humor and serious themes that kind of clashed. It seemed like they didn't really want to pick a direction, but I thought she was fine.
Yeah, I the whole time though I kept thinking like, man, they should have saved her and cast her as Misty. She would have been great.
I know.
But yeah, it was definitely a kid's movie, like, at heart,
mm-hmm.
but I did appreciate the, like, three or so, like, really adult jokes that would go over, like, I don't know, in the 90s when we, you know, our kids' movies, like, there was tons of that stuff that I didn't realize until I watched when I was, you know, 22 or whatever.
Yeah.
So I liked that they had some adult humor in it. It was a little weird and off-putting just because of the brand that it's associated with and how protective the Pokemon company is with mm-hmm. all of this. But, man, if I was, you know, in 11 again, and at the height of like my Pokemon fandom, this movie would have just been
my obsession. Your mind.
It would have consumed me. But yeah, I don't go into it expecting anything other than a mostly kids movie.
It's not going to be Deadpool humor.
No, from Ryan Reynolds. But there were some kind of creepy scenes and I don't know. I was happy with the balance that they struck. I think.
So speaking of creepy, Mr. Mime is the creepiest Pokemon ever created. Like, I just like can't get over how creepy Mr. Mime is. And then of course, like, they make him so creepy looking in this movie, but actually there might be the funniest scenes in the movie with Mr. Mime.
Perfect.
Yeah.
He might have stolen the show. Yeah. It was,
I've always hated Mr. Mime and I was like, I want more of this.
It was fantastic. It was probably the most creative thing in that movie. Yeah. It was the scene with him, and I won't spoil it, but it was just so good. I was cracking up.
So I actually heard that the director or the story writers had to fly to Japan to speak with, you know, the Pokemon CEOs and C-level people to try and convince them to keep that scene in because they wanted to cut it. And the crew and the director was like, no, like, this is really good stuff. Trust me, Americans are going to eat it up. And they wanted it out because it was too kind of weird and dark.
Oh, my God. It was perfect. Yeah. It was so good.
Ryan Reynolds, charming as usual, very charismatic. Yeah. He gave it his all. I didn't feel like he was phoning it in. Kind of just like a PG version of Deadpool in this movie.
Yeah, again, with the trailers in the beginning, I wasn't super sold on him as Pikachu,
yeah.
but it might have been because I had just recently watched Deadpool 2. Mm. At first, it was weird, but once I kind of got into, like, you know, 20 minutes into the movie or shortly after he showed up, like, it kind of just, I just sort of turned my brain off and it was fine. He did a really great job. It felt very much like they gave all of the other actors in the movies a script, and then after they were done with their lines, they're like, okay, Ryan, go.
Yeah.
And they just kind of let him improv stuff. which is it just felt really natural and everything was like kind of off the top of his head, which I really liked about that.
Yeah. And apparently Detective Pikachu has enough adult outtakes to make an R-rated version, according to a new story. So if that ever sees the light of day,
ooh, I need that cut.
Maybe I want to see that version of the movie. What else do you have non-spoilers? If not, I got a review for you.
The only other thing I was going to say is that I thought it did a decent job. At least for me, I saw it early on a Saturday, that it had enough kind of twists and kind of plot turns to at least keep me entertained mm-hmm. and keep me wondering, like, okay, I've got it figured out. Oh, no, wait, why would that happen?
Yeah.
Maybe I don't have this figured out. It wasn't anything mind-blowing, but it was enough. And then the last thing I wanted to say is that, like, I really appreciate, especially with the movie's short runtime, that they didn't do a ton of explanation as to like what this world is like.
Yeah.
It was very unapologetic. They just said like, hey, if you don't know anything about Pokemon, sorry, for the most part, like, they're just, this is what's happening at this point in this world. And you just kind of have to roll with
it. Yeah, there's
like,
a couple and exposition I appreciate that. Dumps, but...
A little bit,
yeah.
But not enough to be like, humans and Pokemon live together.
Yeah.
You throw... Like, it wasn't... They didn't spend a ton of time, like, explaining the rules of this world and the concepts behind it. And as somebody who knows all of that, I appreciated it. But as people who are just going into it, I could understand how that might be a little bit off-putting or alienating.
Yeah. I actually thought kind of the opposite about, like, the mystery of the movie, where it was... I guess, like, it was too complex for, like, little kids to understand, I feel like. But mm-hmm. then, for me, it wasn't deep enough to make me really care. So I was just like, I don't care about your dad, man. I just want to see Pokemon fight and, like, see more Pokemon. So I was kind of just bored by the mystery, but I was my eyes were feasting on all these cute and disgusting-looking Pokemon. did you write a review for me?
I think I cobbled something together.
All right. You want to go first?
Sure.
All right.
All right. Here we go. I don't know if this is right or not, but Detective Pikachu is a fun mystery movie that only works as well as it does because of the property attached to it. Even the generic supporting characters aren't enough to stop Reynolds from carrying the movie from start to finish. It's an unapologetic slice of the Pokemon universe that renders them in a photorealistic style that mostly works and thankfully throws you into its world with very little explanation. I give it, should I give my rating?
Yeah.
I give it a B.
Okay. Yeah, that was good. Very good. Good recap. Mine is Detective Pikachu might be the best video game movie of all time. It was a fun and gorgeous visit to the world of Pokemon that nobody expected to be this good. The word detective in the title is what holds this movie back, and I can't help but think what this movie would have looked like if they decided to focus on the battles and the Pokemon catching instead of the lame mystery of the movie. I give it a C+. To me, it was, you know, average plus, essentially. Like, it was fun. It wasn't great, but it was good. I had a good time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's fair.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some spoilers. If you haven't watched Detective Pikachu, get the heck out of here. We might be back either with Pat or another guest or with Austin for a John Wick. But if not, we'll definitely be back for Godzilla King of Monsters, our most hyped movie of all time.
Cannot wait.
thanks for listening. If you haven't seen Detective Pikachu, peace out. We're going to spoil it right now. I'm going to start with, let's just dive right into the twists here. I think I called from the beginning that the old dude was actually bad. Did you?
I mean, I got that feeling, but...
And then he was I'm good, but I was like, nah, I don't buy it.
Yeah,
weird.
I fell for it.
Did you think the son, Jimmy from You're the Worst, was bad?
Who just plays generic British bad guy.
Yeah,
I thought... I was like, oh, for sure, he's the bad guy.
Jimmy! Yeah, turns out he was good and it was a dittoing him the whole movie.
That, to me, that did you first off, did you see that coming?
No, but I knew that someone dittoing someone had to be back because they showed Ditto transforming pretty early in the movie. And I was like, why would they show that? I don't think Dittos can do that.
I did not pick that up. Well, I mean, I saw it transform, but like... When that twist was revealed, I was like, whoa, that's so good. Because when they showed, I'm just going to call him Jimmy from You're the Worst, in the car, like he had the sunglasses on, and that's because Ditto can't
do the eyes
correctly.
Yeah.
Right. And so like I was wondering, I was like, well, he has to be the bad guy. And then when he fell out of the closet and then he came walking around with the sunglasses on, I was like, now I'm completely lost. And then it transformed, and I'm like, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's such a good use of that character. And I should have said this in non-spoilers, but one thing I really appreciate about this movie is that you can tell that it's not just like a mass-produced movie that came from a bunch of producers, right? Like the people involved in this,
they know
they understood the world, they appreciated it, they respected it, they like it, and they put some of those really fun Easter eggs and references into the movie.
I agree.
I really appreciate that.
Yeah, it didn't feel like Sanic. The dad... Okay, so the old man's body's falling apart or something, and he wants to bring Pokemon and people together and have them live in a world. And his goal is to take Mewtwo, who is the one and only Mewtwo in this universe. There's only one of him, I think. I think that's what they were saying.
Possibly.
And they want to take his genes to fix him, but no, take his body, put his mind in Mewtwo's body, right?
Yeah, so he wanted to...
And then he wanted
Since
to use
didn't
the
have
chemicals.
A body, he wanted to use Mewtwo, and then from Mewtwo they had chemicals that could fuse Pokemon. No. The chemicals got the Pokemon really up, like riled up, and then once they're riled up in that state, he could use Mewtwo's powers to combine human and Pokemon. Who cares?
It's extremely convoluted. Like, the whole movie, I was like, what is his real plan? Does he just want to walk again? Does he really want the whole world to... Like, he wants to take people's minds and put them into Pokemon? So the whole city is just going to be a bunch of human corpses?
And, like, you know, he's like, oh, this is the next step for humanity. And it's like, yeah, for you, you're in the most powerful one of all. Imagine the person who got stuck in Psyduck or Snubbull. Like, yeah. They got completely chipped. That's a much worse deal.
Yeah.
No, it didn't. So why didn't his body, I mean, I guess it's because he had the headset on, but, like, everyone else that fused bodies, like, disappeared inside the Pokemon. His didn't.
Did they? I thought they just laid there.
I don't think so.
I don't remember.
I'm pretty sure they went inside, and if they didn't, then there's another plot hole then.
I'll be honest, anytime there, like, I was just scanning every scene for, like, cool Pokemon in the background and stuff.
Right.
So, like, I didn't, they might have disappeared. They might have been laying on the ground. I don't know, because I was just looking for Pokemon.
That was actually one of the things that I hated and liked about the movie is that, like, I was spending so much time looking in the background and trying to catch. Like,
it's a movie we need so to watch one more time.
I know. There's so many little nods to the games. Like some of the shops are named after items and different mechanics in the games and stuff. So, like, I'm really looking forward to rewatching that.
Machamp directing traffic because he has a bunch of arms.
Or the Snorlax sitting there blocking traffic like he does in the first games.
So, I think we can agree. I think the mystery made a little bit of sense, but then the villain's motives were just extremely convoluted.
Yeah, even the mystery, I was just, I didn't know if I was like, is this hard to follow or do I just not care that much?
Am I stupid or do I not care? Yeah. So imagine little kids, they're gonna be like, Mommy, what is it? What's happening?
They don't care though either. Like, they're just happy to see guys on screen.
Okay, but what about like 11-year-olds who are starting to have a semblance of a brain?
They'll just go on YouTube and watch a recap.
That's true. With giant arrows and colors and stuff and people screaming and Fortnite.
Subliminal messages.
Did you think that... So I thought the little serum or chemical or whatever, the R, was going to be Team Rocket.
I thought so too.
But then Team Rocket never shows up.
I think it's called R in the game, and I think it's just for, like, rage.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Which works, but I definitely was thinking R, the first thing you think of as a Pokemon fan is Team Rocket.
Yeah. And then the biggest twist of them all, Ryan Reynolds ends up being his dad. Did you see that? I mean, I saw a comment on Reddit and he's like, well, I don't know what I expected, but yeah, that makes sense.
I definitely like was like, it's probably going to be his dad. Like I was like 98% sure. I don't know that I bought it.
I don't either. When he came out, I was like, oh, it's Justice Smith's older buddy.
Right, that's exactly how I was like. I appreciate the fact that they tried to like age him a bit by putting a scruffy kind of gray beard
and making him wear glasses, a lame like, sweater.
Yeah, I was like, I just do not buy that this is your dad.
Plus, all the kids know Ryan Reynolds from Deadpool, so they're gonna be like, what?
Right, I didn't buy it.
Yeah, it was really weird, but then I think Ryan Reynolds is like 47 and that kid is probably 20, so it. Could
it's just because Ryan Reynolds is really good looking.
Yeah, he's just extremely attractive. And they gave him like gray hair and like a lame sweater and a tie and thick rimmed glasses. And I was like, Ryan Reynolds, you're never going to look old to me. I don't buy this at all.
Mm-mm.
But I guess it makes sense, right? It's his voice. It'd be really weird for him to look different than...
Which is like, he didn't recognize his
exactly.
Dad's humor.
Yeah, like what?
To be fair, it's probably been 10 years since he heard it. But
that
still,
voice, come on.
It's fine.
We're 30 plus, and our dad has had the same voice for 30 years.
Well, we've seen him for the last 30 years. This kid hasn't seen his dad in 10 years.
I never see dad anymore. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
So I think those were the only other twists. As far as, like, they were experimenting on Pokemon to try and do other stuff.
To me, that was a little, not really a twist, but I was wondering where it was going. Yeah. The Torterra giant turtle garden Pokemon. I was wondering, you know, when that forest started going Inception, like, I'm like, okay, this clearly has something to do with Psyduck. But then once he's like, it's not real. And then it starts getting real. I'm like, what is going on here? So I actually kind of thought it was, I didn't expect it. When they like rose out of the ground, I was like, okay, that's kind of cool.
But then they just went back in the earth.
And then we just have giant Kaijuman that no one ever addresses ever again. So it didn't make any sense.
What are they going to do? Kill them? Like, cool, they can't have them roaming around. They'll kill a whole city in three steps. They'll
destroy everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool, but it didn't make any sense. But it was worth it because that's one of my favorites.
Torterra, and I've never even heard of him.
Yeah, he looked really cool.
Yeah, they just were the size of goddamn Godzilla. I mean, it didn't make much sense, which, like, a lot of things didn't make sense. Like, there's a part in the end of the movie where Pikachu gets thrown off the top of a building and Mewtwo catches him. And then Justice Smith, in 8 seconds, is from the top of the building to the street to talk to Pikachu in, like, literally 10 seconds.
It's that Game of Thrones travel.
Yeah, exactly. That Gendry fast travel, right? What... Anything else? I got like 5 more random bullets. What do you want to chat about?
Yeah, I got a couple random things. So just touching a little bit more on Justice Smith, I didn't like him in the beginning. Mm-hmm. I hated his like whininess. Mm-hmm. But once he kind of became buddy-buddy with Pikachu, yeah, he got a lot more likable.
Yeah, I agree. In the beginning, I was like, he's just going to be the Jurassic World screaming scared mm-hmm. person again. But he eventually started saying the lines like, "You're my partner, right?" And I was like, okay, they're actually developing his relationship and he's not just cowering the whole time.
Yeah, once he got, like, he stopped being such a stick in the mud and got a little bit more likable. Like, again, he was fine. He wasn't great, but he didn't
such a loser, offend dude.
Me terribly.
So lame.
One thing I really didn't like was the holograms.
Yeah.
It felt really inconsistent with the world that they had built, which... Maybe not, this is a world where monsters get digitally zapped into little balls, but it felt way too
how
sci-fi
did it happen? How do they get the recreation?
Exactly.
Why don't the police... He was like, this hologram shows you what you might not have seen or might not have cared to see. And I'm like, I'm pretty sure the police want this information. like, where did they get the footage?
It was just basically a way to be like, we have no way of naturally explaining this story to you. So we're just, yeah, it's just like exposition dump the device. Yeah. So yeah, I didn't like those.
I didn't either. I thought visually it looked really cool, but as a plot device, it was as lazy as it gets.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real quick. So when he walks into his dad's old house or office or whatever, did you recognize the detective thing on the screen?
Yes.
From Home Alone.
I have that as a bullet. That's the
And what's
best
funny
Easter
is that's not a detective movie. That was literally made for Home Alone by Chris Columbus and another director. So the funny thing is like, oh, still with the old detective movies, Dad? I'm like, nope, that was Home Alone in the VHS. Or you're just...
I absolutely loved
it. Yeah, it was really funny.
One thing I was going to say is well, first off, since we're talking about... just like little Easter eggs. I should have said this in non-spoilers as well, but I really love that. Just another point of where the people who made this film really appreciate like what the whole Pokemon series is that the Growlithe, the little dog fire Pokemon that we were talking about before,
so cute.
You could see them like walking right alongside all of like the police officers. Yeah. Cause like in the game's canon, they're essentially like canine units.
Oh, yeah,
right? They're like
right.
police
that's
dogs.
Right.
So like that was really cool.
The Squirtles were firefighters.
They
didn't have the cool
loved...
glasses though.
I loved the two nods to the anime theme song.
Oh, yeah.
So the news station played the musical version of it. And then Pikachu kind of, when he feels like he's the backstabber, he kind of sobs it out on a bridge, which is pretty funny, too.
Speaking of, would a human detective hat fit on a small Pokemon? Or is that just shrunk down for convenience sake?
I think it's his hat, the Pikachu's hat.
But
though.
Doesn't it say like it's Harry's? It has his Harry's name
probably
on
because,
it.
Probably because, I mean, if the Pikachu gets lost, it's not like it can tell somebody how to get back.
Okay.
So it's probably they pick up the hat and they're like, oh, I know who you belong to.
I guess that makes sense.
Yeah, this is a lot of flaws.
Yeah. What else you got?
One thing sort of just like related to the story, but also kind of an Easter egg was, so the mom...
Yes.
Justice Smith's character was Tim. So Tim's mom, it felt like they were like, hey, we have a traditional family unit of a son, a mom, and a father. We don't really have much for the mom to do. and we don't have any room for her in the story because it's all about the dad. So let's just write her off as getting sick and killing her, and that's what makes him so crappy. And like,
it's hilarious.
That's fine, I guess. Like, it seemed like they maybe should have fleshed it out a little bit more, but I guess they just didn't really have any use for her. But the most interesting part is, I don't know if you caught this, but with the day that his mom died, in the little flashback, he was like, he talked about how it was the most important day of his life. And then, you know, once he's grown up and when we first meet him, he doesn't have a Pokemon partner. That's because his mom died on the day where he turned 10 or 11. I forget which one, which is the age that you get your first Pokemon in this world.
Oh, okay.
So that's why he was so curmudgeon-y towards having a partner, because it reminded him of the day that his mom died.
Okay.
So he has those two things that are always sort of fused together, which I thought was actually kind of, most people probably wouldn't get it and they didn't do a good job explaining it, but I thought it was kind of a clever little Easter egg, I guess, is that like the day he was supposed to, he was super excited, he loved Pokemon, supposed to go get it, his mom dies, and then that's what pushes him away.
He had a tournament or something to go to, because they kept zooming in on like the tournament posters.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought he had a Pokemon, and he would like, it was the day that he was had a huge tournament, and that was the turning point in him as his Pokemon trainer career. But I did not notice that. So in the game, do they just give you a Pokemon and that's who you're stuck with?
Yeah. So if you choose to be like a trainer and you're going to go out on your journey and get the badges and everything, you essentially get whoever the town's like professor is, usually offers you
three
choices, red or fire, water, grass. And so you choose that, and that's sort of your partner. In the town that this movie took place, that's not the occurrence there.
Do
right?
they like, just assign totally randomly?
Isolated place.
Or do you pick in the town? In the movie?
You pick.
Oh, okay.
You pick which one you want.
Why would the heck would the girl pick Psyduck? Who would ever pick Psyduck?
Well, because, so, like, let's say the original games took place in Kanto region, right? Like, and that's Bulbasaur, Charmander, Squirtle. Those are, like, the usual starters. In where this movie took place was Rhyme City. Like, they don't have Pokeballs. They don't battle, right? Like, that's why all of the battling was underground. It was illegal and stuff. So, it's not necessarily that she chose Psyduck. It's probably just that, like, they found each other and, like, they just became partners.
Oh,
like,
okay.
Their whole thing was, like, it's a way to, and it's probably why a movie just based on the games wouldn't necessarily work, because now you have to figure out like, well, I'm tearing these things from their environment. I'm forcing them to battle for me. Whereas like in this, they could just like step by all of that and just be like, everyone here lives in harmony. Everyone's partners. We don't command these people. They work with
us. That's what I was going to say. Just, like, is, yeah, really you're right. Like
to get around the
PETA issue. Actual point and premise of the game is very dark. Like you're just ripping,
it's dog fighting.
Yeah, it's pit bulls in a cage underground destroying each other. And actually when like the insane monkeys were trying to attack Tim or whatever,
Apom,
I was like, they're gonna tear his flesh apart and there's gonna be blood everywhere. I'm glad this is like a cartoony PG movie, or else this could have been disgusting.
Oh, I was going to say something else on that point, but I forgot.
I like, somebody on Reddit pointed out that they liked that there was Charmanders everywhere because, like, in real life, everybody picks Charmander.
It's not true.
Oh, what? Just because you were Pokemon Blue? Bulbasaur, you were Pokemon Blue, but then you picked the green Pokemon.
He looked the most like a dinosaur.
That's true. Speaking of, Bulbasaur, adorable in this movie.
Oh, so good. Yeah.
Are you glad they didn't give him a smoker's voice and they actually made him cute instead? Instead, they just made him like giant, cute little eyes.
I loved it. And his little ears were moving and stuff.
Do you think Mewtwo was creepy looking? I thought he was awesome looking.
Yeah, I liked him. He, in the more recent games and the art that they do for him now, he's like way toned down. But he looked, in the movie, he looked a lot more like he did in the very first games, which, when I found him the first time in the games that I played, I immediately ran from him. Which is a huge mistake because there's only one in the entire game because he kind of reminded me of like E.T. or something. So like I liked how creepy he was. It was weird seeing him talk with his mouth because usually he just talks psychically. But anyway, yeah, he looked cool. I liked it.
I saw another comment on Reddit that said, I really love the bit where it turned into a Smash 3-stock match on Pokéfloats with Mewtwo versus Pikachu. It's so true. They're dancing around on literal Pokéfloats and Mewtwo's throwing those giant beams at Pikachu, and Pikachu pretty much dies three times. It was hilarious. I don't know if I have any other points. What else do you have?
The only other thing I was gonna say is that the first like 3 minutes of, I guess this is the credits at this point. I don't really have anything.
I didn't stay and
I think
watch
I have anything
credits.
Else I wanted to. Well, first off, let me just go back and say the Mr. Mime scene where he was like pouring the gas.
Oh yeah, I have now, something
I
want to
actually talk about it. Like that was so good.
Freaking Reservoir Dogs throwback. I love it.
So good. And watching the mime's face like go from like smug to like I don't care to like oh god, and like trying to get out the door, and then he lights it at the end.
And I like
how
like
fantastic.
Mr. Mime doesn't need to like play into this, but he's just like, nope. I'm committed. I'm a freaking mime. This guy's pouring gasoline on me. I have to submit to him pouring gasoline on. He's playing my game, and I have to like, because so like Justice Smith wasn't pouring gasoline on him, right? But Mr.
Nope,
Mime was
no,
just he had to play along. He's like, I set these rules, and I have to live by.
That's right.
So
they
funny.
Were just manipulating the rules that he set up. It was
and then
probably
the
best. The
funny
part
thing
of the
is, they hard cut after he like accidentally. Might have lit a match or something and killed Mr.
Oh,
Mime.
Oh, he definitely lit the match, yeah.
But they hard cut and you kind of hear him being like, so funny.
So good. So nothing after the credits, but for the first like 2 minutes or so, there's this really, really cool, like, I don't even know what you call it, like motion graphics as they go through like the main characters, and they do them all in, there's like a ton of like different Pokemon art in the background and really, really cool colors. And then they like show all of the characters in the movie hand drawn in the style of the artist who does all the art of Pokemon games. So like you got to see Tim and Lucy and all of them like drawn in that. And it just looked really, really cool. And there's little, you know, there's little Game Boy sound effects and nods and things like that. So, definitely, if you know when it comes out or whatever, rewatch that part because that was really cool.
Cool. Was so as far as like cool cameos or Pokemon that you noticed that you know weren't too many of them. Did you notice any background characters or anything that wasn't prominently in the screen? Like, was anything really cool? Was anything from like the latest gens in this?
Yeah, there were a couple from the most recent.
Really? Was Weedle in it? Was Butterfree in it?
No.
Pidgey? No, those were Spearows, right?
Pidgey. No, those were like Pidgeotos or
was
Pidgeots.
Abra in it?
No. You want to go through all 900?
I mean, all I care about is the original 150. Was there anything
there
cool in the background that maybe people have missed? I didn't look up any Easter eggs or anything, but
no, just a couple. Some of the obvious stuff we pointed out, like the Snorlax blocking traffic is a callback. You know, there were some really well done, just like cool things that like there's these tiny, you probably didn't even notice them, they're tiny little yellow, they're almost like little ticks, the little electric spider guys are called Joltix. They were cool, you could see them kind of crossing along electrical wires, which is kind of neat because they're electric type. So there's like stuff like that. A lot of almost every one of the buildings were, or the shops were named after something that relates to the game, but I couldn't pick up on all those because it was just going so fast and I was trying to follow the movie as well and think about what I was going to say today. And then there was like a half a second of a Togepi, which was cool because he's my favorite.
Oh, yeah, I think
so
I remember
that
Togepi.
He made the cut. It was in the underground battle. One person was just holding
him. I thought we were going to see a Chansey. I thought the Bulbasaurs were bringing.
This is what I was thinking.
But then
too,
again, don't they like work in shops? They're not just out there
in the
wild.
No, they are, but they also work in like the
Chansey's another
poker centers, like the healing
one,
places.
Man.
It's weird. Yeah. At least Jinx wasn't part of
this.
Oh, you don't want
man,
to see that.
Jinx. Oh, don't get me started on Jinx. If Jinx was in this movie, instant F. Instant F. Or Drowsy. Pokemon Go ruined Drowsy for me. In Chicago, Drowsy was the infestation. It was a rat.
You're drowning
it was
in
the
him.
Rat of Chicago. Oh, God, Drowsy. Gross. Jinx. Ugh. All right, that's all I had. Overall, it was fun. It was a lot better than I think anybody expected from when they announced it. And then the trailer came out. We're like, huh, this could be good.
This is going to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I really enjoyed it. I really do hope that this is... Oh, one thing we should probably just touch on real quick. I know we're starting to run long. Is I'm pretty sure they've already confirmed a sequel.
Wait, even though they might not blow out the budget?
I don't... And even if that's the case, I'm not sure how they do a sequel.
Yeah.
Will another movie work without Pikachu... talking,
you know, all they have to
I'd
do
be
is
fine
do
with
five
Ryan
seconds
Reynolds
of we
sequel,
invented the
but...
technology to get Pikachu to talk to us and it's some new cool voice.
I hope instead of that it's a sequel in the world of Pokemon and that they start doing a bunch of different
I agree
because I think this
it's a good
the
entry.
World that they've built, the style that they've done, yeah, and like I really think there's so much they can expand on here. So I hope they
you
do
think we'll get Ash and Brock and Misty and Onyx.
No. I read that the Pokemon Company, which is its own sort of entity away from Nintendo, and it's a weird thing. But they're like super protective. They wouldn't let Justice's character wear a red hat in the movie because they were worried that that would draw parallels to Ash. So like they're really protective of that character. So I don't think that they would risk putting him in a movie unless they were sure that it was going to be a hit.
Well, I'd be way more interested in the movie that we just talked about, which is more about the catching and the battling and whatnot, if they can get around the PETA style problems that they'll have with that. But overall, thought the mystery was lame, but man, the Pokemon were really cool. The small amounts of Pokemon versus Pokemon battles we got were incredible. The design, the realistic but slightly cartoony look was great. And Ryan Reynolds was good, pretty funny, a lot of fun. And overall, I gave it a C+. What'd you give it again?
Give it a B.
As a Pokemon fan, getting a B, pretty good. Pretty good.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for joining. It's been great. We'll definitely be having you back for Godzilla in a couple weeks. We'll talk about some more creatures.
I can't wait to talk more monsters. Nice.
Well,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. Thanks, Pat, one of the original founders of GlitchUp.com and actually my brother. A lot of Pokemon memories. It was fun to chat Pokemon. Hopefully we'll be back next week with John Wick. Might be tough to squeeze in. It is my birthday weekend. I'll be doing a lot of partying. And we'll definitely be back for Godzilla, though. So thanks for listening. Make sure to like, subscribe, all that good stuff. And we'll be back soon.
All right. Thanks, guys.